This is the Kinky Cast. This is an adult, sexually explicit podcast. If you are under 18 years old, please stop the podcast now. This is episode 29 of our weekly exploration in the kinky world of BDSM and alternative relationships. In today's episode, two dominant women visit our studio. Here's our hosts, Woody and the Beast.
Welcome back to another edition of the Kinky Cast. I'm Woody, and the Beast is sitting across from me. How are you doing, Beast?
I am good, and I understand that me and you are getting kicked out of the studio.
I don't know if it's paying the rent or what, but I think the comment was there's way too much testosterone in here for them.
Okay, well, I can take the hint.
I can take the hint, too. And on that note, I turn it over to Lee.
Hello, everybody. We have Mistress here today and Medusa. We're going to be discussing what it's like to be a dominant woman in this lifestyle. I have a few questions let's get started with. How long have you, Mistress, been in the lifestyle?
Here in Nashville, I've been active in the lifestyle since 2006.
Mm-hmm.
I have been identifying as a dominant woman since about 98.
Have you ever been, have you always been dominant?
Yes.
Okay. And Medusa, I bet you.
Unlike Miss Tress, I don't have the actual years. I wish I did. But I do remember it's probably been about here in Nashville, about 10 years, I guess. And then before that, I was a lot less focused. So I would just more focus on this. Before that, I was still searching. A lot going on.
Okay.
But I was sort of identified, I think, as dominant, although I did have some switchiness when I was in my 20s.
Okay. So you were both dominant and submissive.
But I think that was more almost like a seeking thing. I had to find out a little more. I wanted to taste all of the pies.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
I do. I've known you ladies for a long time, and I've always known you as dominant. Do you notice any kind of adversity, problems with the male gender respecting you as a dominant woman?
Absolutely. Out at clubs, at events, there seems to always be one, at least one, there's always one dominant male who sees it as a challenge.
Yes.
or just doesn't have any respect and will make comments like, oh, you look like you'd like to be tied up today or, mm-hmm. you know, something.
Mm-hmm. Or they'll just, I have to say, does not happen too much at the club that we frequent. But I've had experiences where they will just not respect your personal space. You know, just to touch, you cannot touch that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that just kind of makes me very angry. And I think that's almost a woman thing.
It is.
Maybe we are more angry about it.
Well, I think that it's perfectly understandable when you're somewhere, and not acceptable, but understandable, when you are at an event where people don't know you.
Yes, I would agree.
Anybody, you know.
Because you can't wear a big banner on your head, you know.
Mm-hmm. And people get a vibe or whatever, and they make a statement. And especially, I mean, most dominant men are pretty confident. And so they're pretty comfortable just approaching and more like propositioning almost. You know, they're pretty
starting
comfortable.
Starting the whole thing.
Yeah,
okay.
Right? But then I have had issues on a couple occasions at the club that we frequent with people who know very well.
Really?
Who I am and what I'm about.
And it's a challenge, like you say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They take it as a challenge.
I've only had that once.
It hasn't been a difficulty for me because I don't care. I mean,
yeah. You're like,
yeah, that's funny. But no, but I'll tie you up.
Right.
You know?
We'll take turns. I'll go first.
Yeah. But it is insulting.
And it is, because they know better, but I think there's a big gender wall in the community. that women are seen a certain way because to some folks, women occupy a certain space in the social order. And so we are, Miss Tress and I, are just not yet brought into the fold. You know, we just have to be shown it. And we will.
Yeah,
we will,
we're not in the boys' club. There's still a boys' club. Right. There are enough women who identify as switch. Maybe more female switches than male. I don't know. But they're definitely more vocal about being dominant to everyone except for the one. Those kind of statements then are misleading that every dominant woman is dominant to everyone but the one, and Medusa and I just haven't found that one yet.
Right.
So it's a challenge to them that I could be the one. I could be the one.
I think you've pretty much hit it on the head. It's almost like if, let's say, a guy hears that a woman has not had an orgasm. It's the same sort of situation. Well, she hasn't had me yet.
Mm-hmm. Or a lesbian who's never lesbian. Been with a man. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, absolutely. You think a lot of that has to do with being in the South. Women are not as aggressive, maybe not as dominant as women from the North.
I don't think that's true. I think Southern women and Northern women, all women, mm-hmm. Dominate their households in their own way. And even if you call yourself submissive, you are still in charge of things in the household. Yeah. Absolutely. Because I think women, you know, they sort of, as a whole, we kind of own that, you know? Maybe we project it in different ways. I don't know. That's how I see it. I don't think that Southern women are all so.
I'm not saying Southern women. I'm saying it's the mindset of men.
I could be.
That women from the South. That could be. Are generally mm-hmm. more submissive.
Southern women are very deceptive. They're very intelligent in the way that they go about allowing their male counterpart, their husbands or mm-hmm. whatever, to believe that they are in yes. control when they really are not.
Yeah.
You know, and mm-hmm. they let them occupy that space at the head of the table. My grandmother, who's not Southern, but this is a great example of it. Mm-hmm. She says, I let Dad make all of the important decisions. He decides who we vote for. He decides where we live. He gets to do all the important stuff, and I take care of everything else.
There you go.
Great grandma.
It is all perception. I really think it is.
Yeah, I knew a dominant man that I dated for a while, actually. I don't know why. I just think it was something I needed to do. But I found out after I stopped seeing him that his number one goal was to find dominant women on, like, bondage and collar me and turn them.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I know who that is.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. He's been around.
Yeah. Well, and so I experienced mm-hmm. that. There's one specific man here in our area who kind of went around the back way. He tried contacting me on Collar Me. He approached me in a way that was very misleading. Mm-hmm. You know, he would say, I know you're dominant, and I am dominant, and I know that we could never be together. But you're so beautiful, and I look at your lips, and I would like to just meet you in a parking lot and kiss you. And, you know, and I was like, yeah, that's all sweet, but no. Mm-hmm. Thanks, but no. I'm just not interested in that.
When you meet a dominant man, I can certainly have a conversation, but there's just an immediate no.
I can't say that because my husband is dominant.
Right, that's true. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the difference between him and 95% of the other dominant men that I've attempted to interact with is that he had no interest in changing me. He That's had awesome. No interest in dominating me. He wanted to be partners.
Right. And he saw you for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the case most of the time.
Right. And so this man, as that approach didn't work, he paid attention to who I communicated with online. And he started to court a girlfriend of mine who was submissive. And then while he was in her house, he saw a picture of me and then started to talk with her about me and did it in a way that was just...
That's some dirty pool right
there. It was
there.
Very dirty. Mm-hmm. So then all of a sudden, he's contacting me and he's calling me by my real name. Mm. And he's talking about events that he shouldn't know about. Mm-hmm. He actually mentioned my child's name.
Oh.
And I just shut that down. I mean, shut it down right away. And you know,
what do you do about your girlfriend?
With my friend.
Yeah.
Right. I had to have a talk with my friend and say, listen.
And how do you have that talk without coming off like some kind of, you know?
I opened the conversation. I mean, I opened up the conversation online and I said, and it's one of those chat boxes that goes all the way back. And yeah. So she could see 18 months before he had been contacting me.
Yes.
And she could see, you know, the progression of everything and how it happened. And I said, whatever your relationship with him is perfectly fine. You do what you want to do and what you, you know.
But here's the information.
Yeah. I have to set this boundary with you that you cannot have a conversation with him about me. Mm-hmm. And then there was some definite pushback when that, because I knew immediately when he was with her again and tried to talk about me. Mm. Because then the next contact was, how dare you tell her who she can talk about and what?
Mm-hmm. Like you're the crazy person.
Yeah.
Not the guy that snuck around and talked to
right.
somebody else.
And I mean, it was really, and.
Okay, let's talk about this for a minute. Mm-hmm. There are some mentally unstable folks that are drawn to our community. And it's difficult sometimes for new people. I don't know. It kind of bothers me because you always hear about that. And you don't hear about the folks that have their good reasons and they have their ducks in a row and they know what they're doing. To, you know, at least to the, whatever extent we all know what we're doing. But yeah, it just bothers me because, you know, you have these folks like you're talking about this guy here who obviously was some sort of sociopath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's very hard sometimes to defend what we do. And I don't know. I just want to talk about that for a second, I guess.
Yeah. I've had my run-ins with crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I guess where I consider myself lucky is most of them show me they're crazy right up front.
Those aren't the scary ones, though.
Right. The scary ones are the ones where it's hidden and they can hide it really well. I haven't really had a lot of, there have been a few.
Do you think as a dominant woman, we come across that less or more? Because I think we come across it a little bit less than a submissive woman would.
Oh, without a doubt. I think we probably run into it just as often. But I think that they leave us. They stay away from us. How can I explain that? So we put demands on them.
We're not an easy victim,
right.
too. Yeah.
We put demands on them. In order to have any type of relationship with me, you have to do X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. And it's those people that can't seem to do those that are constantly coming back saying, well, I'm not going to do that, or I tried to do... And so we just cut them off. Mm-hmm. But then submissive women are on the other end of it. And so they're more almost like a puppet, just because...
Although I hate to say that, but... In a way.
I'm not saying it to be insulting.
No.
I mean,
They're
more easily manipulated because they're on the other end of it. And they're not making the demands. So they're not getting to see where there's no follow through, where there's no, you know.
And they're chasing this dream that a lot of other, there's more competition between submissive women than there is dominant women.
Yes.
So there's more of a prize at the end. I think if you're a submissive woman, trying to find that whatever fantasy is your fantasy.
And less vetting.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's really that we vet them
that's true.
More, I think, on the upfront.
I am a submissive woman, so I can relate to, like, this guy. He just swept me right off my feet because he was very elegant in the words that he was saying to me. And, you know, I fell for it for about a minute. You know, it took me a little bit of time, but after I came down off of my cloud, you know, I started to see what he was all about. And it's sad that there's guys dominant guys out there, and I guess dominant women out there too.
Oh, absolutely.
Who will abuse you, and they're not really concerned with your well-being.
Right.
You know. The next question I have for you is, how would a new person coming into the scene approach you for guidance?
This is a really good question because I have a friend who's going through sub-frenzy at the moment. Mm-hmm. Don't go into it like the munch that you're going to or the play party that you're going to or whatever it is. Wherever you are meeting a group of people, don't go into that like it's a meat market. Don't enter any type of meeting with somebody as if it is pay for play or a hookup site or anything. We are people. We are all people, and we're not life support systems for your fantasy. And if you want to talk to us, approach us as if you would approach anyone at a cocktail party or a work function. You know, approach people with respect and as people and not as sexual objects. Because although maybe that is your ultimate goal, we're still people, and you have to get through this. You have to get this. You have to get through my brain before you get to any other part of me.
Right. Some people just have a hard time approaching a dominant, whether it be male or female.
Well, yeah, we're very scary.
You know, yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, you are. You have horns growing out now. Right. I'm just kidding.
But it's no different than talking to a colleague in the office. Right. It's no different than meeting someone at a charity event or music in the park or, you know, even at a bar. People with integrity and class don't walk up to other people and say, hey, do you want to stick your...
I think, that's very true. And I think a lot of folks, we say you can smell the desperation on some people, especially when they first come to a club. And often, Miss Tress and I will smell that desperation. And either we'll say, let's have a little fun this evening. And, you know, just give them, you know, a great scene. And then, you know, thank you very much. And that's it. It is just, you know, kind of break that ice for them. Because I think when you're a new person, it's almost the anticipation of what's going to happen more than the actual happening. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You walk in and you're just all a flutter.
I the first time I ever went to a club, I was just so nervous because I was led to believe that, you know, you had to kneel and you had to take your clothes off.
I think everybody thinks that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so I was very, very nervous, but I was very fortunate to have a really good dominant man who actually cared about me and, you know, took care of me. So in that aspect, I was very, very lucky. But there's a lot of dominant men out there, or women, which I don't hear too much about dominant women being, you know.
Psychopaths.
Of course, I could be biased. I don't know.
Well, there is a large number difference also. There's less of us than there are of them. So your cross-section is going to be different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I think what... I don't want to say all of us, but many of us are a little bit older. Do you think the cross section is a little bit older of dominant women than dominant men? But I'm not positive on that, but just seems that way to me. Okay, let's just say that. Mm-hmm. So when you're a little bit older, you think things through a little more. Mm-hmm. You have a little bit more of a processing system. You have a little bit more integrity. You've researched. You've read. There's more happening. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think so. And I could be wrong. I haven't done any studies, but it seems that way to me.
But in any,
you can't be wrong.
that is something you can't. And that is the first thing I would tell. Because when you were talking about maybe possibly talking about a new dominant person, I would say the first thing I would say to somebody just getting into and really feels the dominance in them is accept that you can be and will be wrong
a lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
You will make mistakes. You will screw up.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be able to keep, you know, just deal with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I see acceptance from women dominants or dames.
I hate that. Do you? I hate dames. That. I don't like that. I don't like
that. You don't like that either?
Dominant. Dominant. Just dominant.
Yeah, because they put a feminine side to it.
It's not that it's feminine. I consider myself feminine, even though I have some masculine qualities about me. But I don't like the word because to me, it's not a real word. It's almost a word that was made up online.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
So it was D-O-M-M-E. It's the French giving female, assigning a female quality to something, right? A feminine quality.
Okay.
So D-O-M versus D-O-M-M-E. And it's both pronounced dom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Both are pronounced the same. I've heard people say dame, dame.
I hate dame.
I hate it.
Yeah, I've never liked that either.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Dom, the D-O-M-M-E, if people spelled it that way and said dom, because that is how I was introduced to it, I would be fine with it. But dame gets me every time. I'm like,
That and dommy.
Dommy.
I haven't heard that. Thank goodness.
It rhymes with mommy. I'm like, no, I am not your mommy.
No.
No.
You wouldn't play my mommy. No, just kidding.
I almost consider myself a little bit of a maternal dominant. I think in my house, you know, I have two men. So I have my husband and my boyfriend. Okay. And we all live together. And
you've lived together for a long time.
I've been married for about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I have had my boyfriend there living in the house for now 5 or 6 years.
So you consider yourself poly?
No. Well, I consider myself polyfidelity. Poly. How is it?
Polyfidelis?
Fidelis. That's the word I'm looking for. Thank you. Whereas it's a closed thing. There's I might seem with somebody else.
Poly just means me loves. Poly not open.
I just want to be clear because a lot of people hear poly and they assume
it's an open
invitation to come on over.
Yeah, my husband and I are poly, but it's not an open invitation for people to come on over.
Right.
But, you know,
there is a misconception, though.
That's true. That's why it's great to have this show so we can clarify things, you know.
But every poly situation is different.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's very, very true. Miss Tress, are you in an open relationship, poly relationship, monogamous? What?
My husband and I are poly. We're currently monogamous. I mean, we're currently in a monogamous relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Any relationship we've been involved with or would be involved with would be closed.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't had a great experience. We're just
learning and moving on.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's a period in between after a bad thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, there's a lot going on in both of our lives, in our family life right now. So that's just not something that we're looking for now.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that it'll never happen.
Yeah. I mean, it is a commitment when you have a third or a fourth. We're in the same boat that you all are in, whereas, you know, there's just a lot going on in our lives. And it's hard to give the kind of time that you need to give to, you know, that other partner, because they're just as, you know, if you're in that type of relationship, they need your attention just as much as, you know, your number one partner. Mm-hmm. I can definitely understand. Say you're at the club and you're sitting in the social area and a new person comes up to you. This was my hardest thing that I had to do when I went to the club, was I didn't know how to approach a dominant person. I didn't know what to call them.
It's unfortunate because I'm sure that we're all different. I can say for myself, I would prefer someone to just come over and just ask for my time. Excuse me, do you have a moment to talk? Usually if I'm in the club and I'm sitting in the social area, I'm sitting there because I'm cool with that, you know?
Yeah.
So I would say, and be yourself. I don't like the overtures of the, you know, the kneeling and the mistress. And please don't call me that. Don't call me that, because you're not that to me. I would prefer they just be normal, natural, conversational. And we can discuss and see, you know, if there's any questions you have, or we can just see if there's anything happening there. Friends to anything else. Okay. That's mine.
I agree.
Yeah.
I want to be approached as a person. I don't want somebody to get down and start kissing my feet, which has happened.
I don't like that. I don't know why they get the idea that that is the proper way, probably from movies or something.
That it's okay.
That it's okay.
To put your lips on any part of my person, even if it's the outside of my shoes,
right,
without my express permission. I don't understand it, and you're probably right. It's from books, movies. It's their
or their own their personal fantasy. Crazy fantasy.
Right, it's their fantasy.
Yes. Yeah. Which another thing we could talk about later is that it's all about their fantasy a lot of times. And that's not happening.
And I have to say that is both men and women, because I play with both. I play with both men and women. Mm-hmm. And I've experienced it from men in a very blatant, blunt way. Yes. And I've experienced it from women in a very passive,
clingy,
mm-hmm. needy, mm-hmm. passive-aggressive way,
mm-hmm.
where I understand when men say, you women don't ever tell us what you want, and you expect us to. I totally get it, mm-hmm. because I've experienced it and gone, what the hell was that? What?
And how do you deal with it, you know? When somebody follows you around the club like a puppy, it's a little bit, you know, you can turn around and say, get the fuck away from me, of course. You could do that. But that just probably makes them follow you more. So,
yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to get out of that. I know what you're saying. I play with women too. I don't have sexual experiences with women very much beyond, you know, a little fondle flirting kind of thing. When I was younger, there was some, but not so much. Now it's pretty much, I'm pretty much guy.
Yeah.
I like spanking women though. Women are much more fun to spank. I will say that. I just do. They are. Yeah. They make more noise.
Yeah, they
more
do. Fun. They wiggle more. They do.
There's a little dance involved.
Yeah.
It's very nice.
Yeah, I like to move around. Okay. How do you tell if someone's submissive or dominant? Do you have a hard time figuring that out?
I have gaydar. Now, it's not gaydar, but it's something else. I know. I mean, I know.
I will say that Miss Tress is extremely good at that. I have hung out with her at the club, and she can pick them out, just like points them out like it's nothing. I have had trouble. I have had trouble. Yeah, definitely. Until I get to talk to them, you know. But if you see somebody across the room, mm-hmm. and you're like, well, he's got a nice rump on him, you know.
Is that what you do?
Yes, that's what I do. I'm very drawn to asses, aren't I? Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. It is difficult to tell until you watch them for a while. But you know right away. You always have.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a gift.
It's a gift. It is.
Sometimes I wish there was a banner, you know? Sometimes I wish there was a banner, you know, a light or something over their head.
Or I'm available, you know.
Well, my favorites are the ones, especially in the South. God bless the South.
Yes, ma'am.
The ones that are really difficult for me are the ones who, it happens with men. Men who believe, because they're in the South, that they have to be dominant.
Ah. But they're really not.
Yeah, they're really not.
Yes.
And, you know, everybody has to find their own way. Everybody has to figure it out for themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, the most fun to watch over the course of 6 months to a year, mm-hmm. and just watch them go.
So when you see him come in, do you just like, I'm going to be watching you. Mm-hmm.
That one will have a collar on.
I'll see you in 30 days. Yeah,
that one will have a collar on. Or with women in the South going the other way. That she came in on a leash and she's going to lead
holding
one. She read that book,
but she's going to figure it out in a minute.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and I really think that is, and so I went through this as well, not from being Southern or anything, but just because I am more sexually attracted to dominant men than submissive men. Mm. I like submissive men. I like to play with submissive men. I have a lot of fun with submissive men. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to, you know, really solid, when it comes to a relationship partner, I want an equal partner. Because I was so attracted to dominant men, mm-hmm. I thought, well, maybe I'm submissive and I don't know it.
maybe they're right.
Yeah. No. You know, not maybe. Right. But I thought it might maybe, be.
Right.
So I had a boyfriend who was dominant. I mean, I found a boyfriend who was dominant. I approached him as a submissive. And we met for a weekend. I went through the motions. I hated every minute of it.
So you like being in control.
It's really what it comes down to.
Yeah. So how do you do that with your partner in your relationship?
My husband makes all the very important decisions.
Nice.
Good old grandma.
And here's the good thing. Mm-hmm. Although he is a very dominant man, he just doesn't care. I mean, he is perfectly fine with letting me, you know, make most of the decisions, especially all of the day-to-day decisions, whatever it is. I will ask him for his input, and sometimes he has input, and other times he says, baby, do what you want. You know mm-hmm. me, do what you want.
I have pretty much the same dynamic with my husband, mm-hmm. but it's all perspective, right? I mean, it's the same thing. I run the day-to-day. I handle the money. I do the bills. Mm-hmm. I do all of that, what we're going to buy for food, what big purchases we might make, that sort of stuff. But I always ask for his input.
Is he dominant?
No.
No.
Mm-mm. No.
No.
They're both submissive.
Okay.
So we're doing the same thing that Mistress is doing, but we call it something else. I mean, I'm making all the decisions, but it's still, I do ask, I want to know his input. I don't want a submissive that's just going to like lay on the ground.
Yeah.
I want to know what he's thinking. I want to know if something is bothering him or how he feels about things. And mm-hmm. I have to take that into account when I make my decision, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the okay. same thing, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I'm Jason, and this is your 90-second news update from the National Coalition for Sexual Freedom. Dame Helen Mirren, the Academy Award-winning English actress, appeared on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon August 5th. During her skit in which Jimmy dressed as a Renaissance-era nobleman, looking into a mirror and asking questions like, what was her dream job? In which she replied, she wanted to be a contestant on American Ninja Warrior. Also, Mirren, who was knighted in 2003, alluded to her liking the light BDSM. It's no secret that the Brits love their BDSM, as Dame Helen quipped, who doesn't like a jolly good spanking once in a while? In other news, the trailer for 50 Shades of Grey has hit the web with mixed results. Find out what one fetish performer had to say about it, as well as other stories about what's going on in the news that concerns us and our way of living at ncsfreedom.org by clicking through to our media update section. I'll be back soon with more news from the National Coalition for Sexual Freedom. Until then, help support this program and many others like it by becoming active members in your community, as well as members of NCSF. Remember, your voice should be heard. I'm Jason, and this has been your NCSF 90-Second News Update.
Click on episode 29B to continue.